Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
A great story that's a lot of fun, that was really cool, now kind of needs to end. Despite the fact the government is still shut down, we have many government employees wanting to play the NFC Championship game again. Now, not reopening the government, but let's play the NFC Championship game.
Priorities.
Again.
People standing in line for food and trying to keep their households in order. But no, we need to see Drew Brees with another chance to, well, feel a pass rush from Dante Fowler.
TMZ caught up with Louisiana Congressman Steve Scalise, who's made news about, he's a pretty good
for president now.
He probably could.
This is how you further your political career, right?
I make sure.
Hey, look what I'm doing. I'm going for governor. I'm going to be the governor. That's it.
There's been a push by many people to play the last minute 49 of the NFC Championship game. You had the guy that owns all the car dealerships in Louisiana, sure, who is now buying up all the billboard space outside of Atlanta because he wants to replay the last minute 49 because he didn't get that pass interference call right. And now add Steve Scalise to the group of people who are, you know, we had 600,000 people, 700,000 people signing a petition to play the last minute 49. No. Steve Scalise, congressman, has a better idea. Forget about the last 149. He wants the whole game played again.
Well, you know, the NFL's going to look at rules changes, but clearly, looking at something like those 15-yard penalties, shot to the head, not making a call that everybody knows they should have made. With the technology today, there's ways to solve it, just like they've done other things with replay. This is a rule that they've got to revisit. They should play a makeup game. If the Saints played the Rams on Saturday, I think it would be the highest-watched sports event all year.
Do you think, how many more years do you think Brees has left in him?
I'll tell you what, he's playing like he's 25.
No, he's really not.
Now, they got him.
Did that guy watch the game?
They got him at the airport. Now, it's a really funny video because Steve Scalise is one of those guys, when he gets caught, it's like, realize, I'm a politician. Here's a cat. I got to look professional. I got to be nice. I got to answer
how's
questions.
How's my hair look?
I don't want this to be bad. So he was very calm and very easygoing, sure, answering these questions. You heard the bus leaving behind him. He's obviously getting dropped off at the airport. He says, let's play the whole game again. Now, I agree with him. If by some reason Roger Goodell came out tonight and said, you know, we really biffed it. We blew it. We're going to play that game again. We're going to play the whole game again. Of course, it would be the biggest thing in the world. You're playing the NFC Championship game again? Of course, it would be huge. But let me say this. Now it's time to let it go. All right? I feel like now it's like the conversation you have with your friend when you're like, all right, dude, you've been, I gave you time. You had the bad breakup. And I know it's been bad. And I was here for you. And I helped you, and I laughed with you, and I cried with you, and I understood. And when you called me on the phone to vent about her, I get it, but enough time has gone by now, and you need to move on. All right? It's not going to happen. You're not going to get it back. They're not going to play the game again. This is not best of times with Kurt Russell and Robin Williams. It's not. If you haven't seen that movie, oh, by the way, watch it. It's
go back
awesome.
And check that out, sure.
It's not going to happen. They're not going to play the last minute 49. So they can see what happens. So Sean Payton can biff the play calling again. That's not good. You have to just, it's time to move on now. It's been fun. Let the fans buy their stuff and craziness. And yes, you did get screwed. I get it. But there's nothing you can do. It happened. The Super Bowl is going to be played. The Rams are going to play. They're going to play the Patriots. The Saints are not playing in this game. It's time to move on. It's been fun. It's been good. But now, really, this is that meeting. We went out for a drink one night. And I say, you know what? I got to get home in a few minutes, but I got to tell you, dude, you got to move on.
Yeah,
it's time to move on.
I get that you're still going to be upset. People in Chicago are still looking at the kicker and getting angry.
Wait. This from somebody who says, well, I never mentioned Cody Parkey. You bring Cody Parkey up. Your first mention is Cody Parkey.
I didn't say his name. I just said the kicker.
Oh, but you brought him up. Nope, you brought him up. You
brought
the topic. Laces
out.
Yeah, I'll take it.
The topic.
No, just go on down the line. Everybody's got that piece of fandom, and we've done the crying the beer. I did a spot in Baltimore today. They brought up Cundiff again. I'm like, he's got nothing to do with this, but it's okay. Just keep going. With this, the NFL hasn't even released a statement on it. Roger Goodell's hiding under his desk. He's hoping that the Super Bowl week comes here and that everybody's excited once the buses roll up for first media availabilities and arrivals and the send-off parties right on Sunday. I keep getting the notes saying, hey, there's going to be a big send-off and you can wish the Rams well. And I saw that the Patriots are doing the same thing, a big pep rally. That's great. Once that's done, in theory, the NFL is praying that everybody moves on to Super Bowl week. Maybe, you know, the 9 million people that watch the Pro Bowl, something good happens there and there's some positivity to be had there. Here, look, shiny object. There's Patrick Mahomes throwing behind his back during the game or something. I don't know. Whatever, you know, he's going long snapper. So he catches the shotgun pass, turns around and long snaps it downfield. I don't know. Something trick shot along the way. But the NFL has already addressed it by not addressing it. It's time to move on.
And that's the thing. This is what I would like to see, because Ben Watson, who remember missed the game because of appendicitis, retired. Sure. This is his final year in the NFL. Missed his chance to get to the Super Bowl. He put on his Twitter account earlier today a letter to Roger Goodell. Now, Ben Watson doesn't want to play the game again. He doesn't want to play the last minute 49. Ben Watson understands. But this is what you would call constructive. And yeah, by the way, where is it? Ben Watson says Roger Goodell's silence on this issue is unbecoming of his position, detrimental to the integrity of the game, and disrespectful and dismissal to football fans everywhere. He just wants Goodell to weigh in and say, we blew it, we have to do better. And you know what? He is 100% right.
Put out your 200-word legal document and be done with it.
But you can't put your head in the sand and say, okay, it happened, we're moving. Oh, you're the commissioner, and you blew it, and officiating sucks. All right? It sucks. The whole thing sucks. We get questions every week. Why can't they get this right? Why can't they get this right? Why can't they get this right? Mike Pereira joined us this week and said, listen, officiating is at the bottom of the barrel. This is the worst we've seen officiating. We need changes. We need to start things over. Now, whether it's another official on the field with a better angle on things, whatever it is, but officiating is at the bottom of the barrel. We need to start over. It's terrible. It's bad. We talk about the officiating more than we ever had. And I get that bad plays are and bad calls are part of the game, and they happen. But when you have the technology to not have them be part of the game, you got to use them. For everybody who said the last couple of days, oh, I don't get why people want the pass interference call reviewed. How are you going to make that? That's not reviewable. It's not going to solve any problems. Yeah, it will be. Because all you need is an explanation, and then that's how you challenge it. Hey, Sean Payton says, I want to know why that wasn't a flag on that play. The referee says, because the ball was tipped, because that was the explanation
right.
That Roby Coleman said the referee told him. No, the ball was tipped. You're good. The ball was tipped. Challenge. I want you to look at it. I don't think that ball was tipped. They look at it. Oh, guess what? We get pass interference. If there's a no call that you want to question, you look at the replay and you say, I want to challenge. Why was there no pass interference on that play? And the official says X or Y. And you say, well, I want a challenge on the fact that he had a hold of his jersey and you didn't see it. Okay, let's go back and look at it. I get what the NFL is afraid of. They're afraid of missing so many pass interference calls that it looks bad, but it's time you just suck it up. You got to suck it up and figure it out. And it's easy to figure it out. As long as you can get an explanation and challenge a specific thing and not just say, I want to say that's pass interference. Well, all right, what are we going to look at? Where the ball was? No, if you can challenge a specific thing, that's easy. You should be able to get an explanation for a call from the official, and then you decide, do we challenge it, do we not? That's pretty easy. Anybody who says, oh, we can't do pass, no, you can do it. That's how you have to do it. It's got to be a specific thing, but you can do it that way.
Well, either way, you get everybody in the room. You're looking at the integrity, the sanctity of the game being questioned, and officials, yeah, they were probably missing a lot of calls. You know what? Now we just know from a technological place, we see it all. And we get it in super slow-mo, and we get to see it a fourth angle and a fifth angle and from above and below and everywhere else all around. Roger Goodell right now, the entire State of the Union that he does during Super Bowl week is going to be addressing this game. That's it. He's going to get hammered if he doesn't come up with an explanation ASAP. By close of business on Friday, maybe a news dump.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Ace Davis. He already has a sports talk radio name. Hey, welcome to The Ace Davis Show. I'm Ace. Your phone calls right now at 1-800-CALL-ACE.
I already have questions for the parents, guardians, uncles, whoever had a contribution. Maybe they're just big Adam Carolla fans. Ace.
Ace Davis is a 10-year-old kid from Lexington, Kentucky, who is moving on, I believe, to the state competition in his science fair. Because, you know, right around the early part of the new year is when you do your science fair project in school. It's always the biggest thing. Oh, you got to come up with some kind of hypothesis and prove it. And the science fair project was always a big thing. Like when I was a kid, I remember doing how to find the humidity in the air when all the kids are going, I'm making a volcano and a volcano's going to burst. I'm going to be the cool guy. But Ace Davis is moving on to the state.
You think he can take state?
Maybe. I'll tell you
what. Are we going to take state this year?
Take state. Go Panthers.
You're going to have drunk Tim McGraw throwing rings and getting all mad at you.
What?
Taping the ball to your hands.
Clear eyes, full hearts. Can't lose. So what is his science project that is getting him this far? It is asking and trying to answer the question, is Tom Brady a cheater? Wait, what? Whoa.
Is that really a question?
This kid, the
answer's yes.
He's asking the difficult questions. He says, quote, I hate Tom Brady. He's been accused of cheating before. I want him to be caught. His hypothesis is that underinflated footballs, Deflategate, provide a competitive advantage in a game. They had hand-drawn charts and graphs of his findings, like all science fair projects have. And his theory is proving that Tom Brady is a cheater. He's got conclusions. He's got everything. Quote, the Patriots were found guilty of doctoring footballs, thus losing $1 million in future draft picks. Tom Brady is indeed a cheater. He also put in a picture of Tom Brady crying to make sure that this really is the end result.
By the way, they were never proven to have done anything.
Doesn't matter.
The commissioner's decision and that got thrown out.
I mean, I don't know that he's talked to Jastrzemski or the deflator himself.
Or
I overinflate these balls for Tom, they're going to be like 500 pounds.
Is this just angry dad, Jets fan?
He lives in Kentucky.
It doesn't matter.
He lives in Kentucky.
He could be a Jets fan in Kentucky.
You can be, but he's
someone who got relocated. Just a guy that just hates Tom Brady. He's like, here's what you're going to do your project on. Dad, I don't want to do this. Dad, here, I wrote it out for you. Just copy it in your own handwriting. No 10-year-old hates a guy that much.
This kid...
Unless Tom Brady has proven to have had something to do with his family.
This kid,
he got screwed over by some business dealing.
This is a smart kid who understands where to go when you want to be noticed.
No, he's
this
a pawn.
Ace
he's like
Davis
all these other
the
kids
next,
that no, he's like all these other kids that get propped up on YouTube by mom and dad trying to get over.
Here's why he's different. I read an interview with the kid. All right, number one.
He was prepped well. So what?
Number one, listen. He was asked who his favorite quarterback is. He said Jameis Winston. It was kind of weird, but okay.
That's a little out there.
He was asked about
maybe he likes crab legs.
He was asked about the whole project and why he wanted to do it. He said, it's funny and people are tired of watching Tom Brady in the Super Bowl and Julian Edelman take steroids. Whoa! This kid is going to be the next great sports talk radio star.
Well, he did violate the NFL's policy on performance-enhancing substances, so that's true. I mean, that's part of the narrative. But again, it comes from a household that clearly someone in the family has hatred for Tom Brady and has been spewing it with some regularity where it bled into this kid's brain.
I want to just say this.
Might be you. You might be that guy.
This is very important.
Or Rob.
This young man right here is my son.
Dun, dun, dun!
Ace, if you understand one thing, Brady's a cheater. They had the plays. Wait, he's the Deflategate. What about Spy? He's saving that for when he's 11-year-old in the science
fair? That's the update.
I didn't even think about the Edelman on steroids. That's a good one.
That's a good angle. That's a good addition to process.
I want the Patriot game replayed.
Hey, he served his time.
This kid, he's going to have our jobs. He's already understanding hot take theater, and he gets it. He's got a great name already. He's ready. This kid's ready. He's like the phenom. He's like when A-Rod was in high school. It's like, boy, he's going to come into the Major League Baseball.
He's
going to just take over right away. He's the Zion Williamson of 10-year-old kids.
Who's writing the stuff for him, though?
He's doing it himself. He's 10 years old. He knows a lot. He plays.
I think he's got a staff of writers to help prop him up.
He plays quarter. Listen,
that works in this game, too.
When your name is Ace, nobody helps you. Yeah, like, I got it.
Well,
I'm Ace.
Look, going by, is that his given name?
But
I
want to
see the birth
Ace Davis, private investigator. Brrr. This is the show. It's the Ace of Spades with Ace Davis.
Hey! Hey, can you get me a Zima? I think Tom Brady's a cheater.
We'll see if we can trump this next time. I'm Ace Davis.
No, I don't want an egg beater. I said Tom Brady's a cheater. No. Not next Easter. Tom Brady's a cheater. No, I didn't hurt my femur. I said Tom Brady's a cheater. Never mind.
It's broke.
Boy, we have... Oh, you're
broke.
Going to hell.
It's broke.
We have not done Ace of Spades, you know, trying to order a drink in a club in a long time. It's been a while.
Yeah, that was
a long
good. Time Ace to bring Davis. It back. Happy New Year.
The Ace Davis. The Ace of Spades with Ace Davis. Just start with that music.
So what you're saying is we are going to be agents for Ace Davis. Is that the deal?
I like it. Look, if we be friends with the kid, maybe he won't take our job. Maybe he'll take the Odd Couple's job instead. And he comes in early, you know, he'll do that instead. Kid's got it already.
Well, you know what? You got to start somewhere. I mean, I wish I was 10 and folks were going to prop me up. I mean, who grabbed this and decided this became big time news? That's the other thing. That's the school.
Because he won.
No. But that's also the
won.
No. But that's the school trying to get over too.
And this
how
shows
many,
you.
No, but how many science fair projects
nope.
go quietly into the good night?
This shows you the Patriots
many.
Cheat as well because the kid won and he's moving on. You're not going to just push some science project through if it doesn't tell the truth, doesn't prove anything.
When asked for comment, you know what Ace said? We're moving on to state.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Big stories in Major League Baseball right now that actually have to do with the Super Bowl. Right? Maybe you saw this earlier today. The Dodgers are really on the cusp of a couple of bang-bang moves that could really turn them into almost an unbeatable team in the National League. They acquire A.J. Pollock earlier today. They sign him, free agent outfielder who many teams were in on earlier in the free agent proceedings, but teams have backed off in a little bit. The Mets were in on him, but they backed off. Look, A.J. Pollock's a great player, but he just can't stay healthy. He's been injured big time the last three seasons, and as a player gets older, you wonder, okay, just how much does the guy have left? He's just going to get hurt for us. The Dodgers are in on him, and they sign him for 3 years because he's someone, he doesn't have to play every day. He can be an everyday player and play 4 or 5 times a week, and that way you're limiting his exposure to injury. If he plays 115, 120 games, that's the big win. Not for a second do I think they think A.J. Pollock's going to play 150 games.
Right.
But because of the depth that their team has, he's someone that can play. Cody Bellinger can play first base. They can move things around. And he can play 115, 120 games. And that will work out phenomenally for the Dodgers. So it's a great signing. They have the money. And we know how good Pollock is. He knows the NL West from his years with the Diamondbacks. It's a great move. After that, Bob Nightingale, USA Today, reporting the Dodgers are extremely close with a deal for JT Realmuto from the Marlins. Now, it's not known what they would have to give up, but Realmuto, clearly the best catcher on the market, was a slow-developing market for him. The Marlins wanted a lot. The Dodgers were one of the teams that waited out. Other teams that wanted him. The Mets moved on. Other teams moved on. Well, your asking price is too high.
Right.
And now the Marlins are at the point where, well, it's almost February. Pitchers and catchers got a report soon. He's got a report, and we still have him. So the Dodgers have now waited the Marlins out. Now, what would the package be? It could be Alex Verdugo. I mean, I don't know because I'm just saying they have a lot to give up. Could be Max Muncy. Could be any, you know, they could give up anything. Could be a combination of Jock Peterson and Alex Verdugo, Peter Matt, whatever it is.
Even with moving outfielders, still a glut at
there's
the
still
position.
A glut. Derek Jeter would be very excited to get any of these players back. So this is what the Dodgers would do, and you're talking about something where you are not taking away from your everyday, and you are adding an all-star catcher, and you added a former all-star outfielder. All you did was get richer. And the Dodgers, the last 11 years, when you talk about 8 division championships, and you talk about the National League pennants and the last 2 appearances in the World Series, the Dodgers are baseball's version of the Patriots. It's not quite been as long as the Patriots have, and there's a big question to answer at the end of this, but it's not that the you know, cannot appreciate, well, the Patriots have been so much better. Well, they've been better for longer. They've been better for now going on almost 20 years. But when you have the best quarterback in football for over that period of time, well, you know, you're going to be good. The Dodgers have put some kind of level of excellence when you're talking about ownership changes and everything, because That never happened with the Patriots. They never had an ownership change. They never had a coaching change.
There's still got to be more books on all that turmoil,
Yeah, but that's later. But
there's
a lot of stuff still
sitting out there.
That's later on. But this level of achievement by the Dodgers, you're talking in 11 years, eight division championships. And there's a lot of similarities between the Dodgers and the Patriots, including one big one, which is why the Patriots are winning Super Bowls and the Dodgers haven't won the World Series, is you think that all the Dodgers' moves have worked with this front office. They've all worked. They've signed the right free agents. They have brought up enough players in the minor league system that have come in and played great. They've gotten players who were cast-offs that were afterthoughts to come in and play at an all-star level, guys like Max Muncy. Oh, look at Max Muncy. This guy couldn't dent the major leagues, and now suddenly, look at the guy's an all-star. And he's hitting 40 home runs. I mean, that's what the Dodgers do. They find ways to win regardless as to who is having big seasons. They dominate a really bad division because, let's be honest, the NL West has been brutal the last few years. Other than the odd years the Giants win, it's not been as competitive because the Padres always stink. The Rockies always they give you false hope at 500 for a while, and then they peter out. And the Giants every other year, but the last couple of years, not so much. And now the Giants are starting over. There's nothing that tells me this level of excellence won't continue for the Dodgers for a long time because they're set up with young players, veteran players. They're going to keep the guys they want. They turned over new stars last year. Walker Buehler's going to become their new ace in a couple of years. You're turning over new players. Bellinger's an MVP candidate type if you can get him to keep his head on straight for a while. But it doesn't matter because you keep churning guys over and playing well. This level of dominance for the Dodgers is not going to stop anytime soon.
No, I mean, when they reconstituted the scouting and player personnel development and the way they went about the farm system, just a change in approach. And they were already good. Obviously, we were talking about over a decade. But what you have now, the glut of outfielders, and when you got a guy like Kershaw, the horse at the start of it all, even in seasons where he hasn't been 100%, when he has pitched, you're still talking about a level of excellence that few pitchers match, right? At his worst, he was still a top five starter in Major League Baseball when he was banged up. And, oh, the ERA is up half a point. Yeah, that got it to 2.8. Yay. So you go through. And obviously, everybody has bullpen issues, taxing of bullpens. The question with the Dodgers is, can you go and finish the job? You know, each week I do a spot in Baltimore. Have been one of the first spots I did long, long ago. And I've been blessed to be able to keep that relationship going. And it's been, 14 years or whatever. I've been doing spots almost every week with the same crew. But they always ask me, you know, out in Los Angeles, how excited are people about the Rams? I'm like, you know what? They're third. They're going to the Super Bowl and they're third. They're like, what do you mean third? Like, first off is panic, you know, red alert on LeBron James. Now we're at game 15 tonight that he's missed for this injury that seemingly has no end. And you talk about trying to get back into the playoffs and rebirth and all that stuff.
I'll come back when Luke Walton is fired.
Maybe that's the silent demand. So that was part one. I go, the other is the Dodgers waiting for that next big push. And by that point, the Pollock deal had been announced. I'm like, that. And if the Realmuto deal goes down, now we're talking. And now Dodger fans going into spring training will feel even better about the squad. Because right now there's still a lot of hand-wringing and angst over 2 years where you're that close, wafer thin, to a World Series title. And you keep wondering when that ends. Now, you, as you put it, like all the pieces are there to keep rolling, right? Arizona, you got one of their key pieces. They got rid of, they had a fire sale. They got rid of a lot of their big-name guys. So the division is there, but division's not enough. They don't raise banners like the Colts for winning a division. You need more.
So now the question is, well, why do the Patriots win Super Bowls and the Dodgers don't? Because the road to the Super Bowl is, hey, excellence in the playoffs. You play, sometimes you're at home, sometimes you're on the road, sometimes it's two games, sometimes it's three games. The Dodgers, you win a series against a team that shouldn't be on the same field with you. You have trouble in the NLCS, you win, you get to the World Series. Get to the World Series, you don't win. So you get to the NLCS, you don't win, despite the fact you have the better team. Why do the Patriots win Super Bowls and the Dodgers don't win World Series? It's pretty simple.
Because the Dodgers don't cheat.
No, the Dodgers have to know the pitches that are being tipped by the other teams, not the other way around. That was what would help the Dodgers.
There is that.
But, and it's pretty simple, Clayton Kershaw is not Tom Brady in the playoffs. Tom Brady plays.
Yeah, he doesn't cheat.
Tom Brady plays at his top level in the playoffs. As good as he is during the regular season, he continues that level. Clayton Kershaw does not. You look at the World Series this year, he gets lit up in game one, in elimination game in game five, he gives up three home runs. Clayton Kershaw has been a 500 pitcher in the playoffs, and this is why the Dodgers haven't won. This is why I have said they have to move on from him, because they rely on him and they put him in spots and he doesn't come through. It was a mirage this year. The game against the Braves, when they didn't start him in game one, I thought, this is perfect. This is awesome. He starts game two, he's pissed off. No, and then look what happens. In the World Series, he's not been good.
Right back,
and you're bringing him back for another 3 years, he's going to be a diminished guy, and you're waiting on him, and he's not been good enough in the playoffs. He's been Peyton Manning in the playoffs. And Peyton Manning somehow found his way to win two Super Bowls before he was all said and done. And maybe that's Clayton Kershaw, who is mid to later part of his career right now. But that's what happens. Peyton Manning had one level of play. And it was great during the regular season. But when teams in the playoffs raised their level, Peyton Manning went 500. All right, it's not that bad, but Peyton Manning went 500. Clayton Kershaw has his level during the regular season. And in the playoffs, everybody else raises theirs and his goes down. That's why the Dodgers haven't won. Their best player and the best pitcher in baseball needs to pitch like it.
And 9-10.
And when he doesn't, you're not going to win World Series. You're not going to win. You're going to lose one or two games. Those are wins. Those are supposed to be wins when Clayton Kershaw pitches in the playoffs. And instead, it's a toss-up. He wins as much as he loses. So if he's pitching twice in a series, you know he's going to lose one of those games, and that's going to give the other team confidence, and it's a game you're supposed to win, and now you're moving on with less players who aren't as good, and you've lost with your best player. Tom Brady doesn't have bad games in the playoffs. He doesn't. That's why the Patriots win. It's that simple. Brady is that kind of player in the playoffs, and Clayton Kershaw is not.
Kershaw, standard 2.39 ERA in the regular season, 9-10 record, 4.32. In the postseason, including two World Series appearances, five games started, 1-2 record, 5-4 ERA.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So Seth Wickersham is at it again.
Who's he blowing up this time?
ESPN writer who last year brought us the tell-all about the Patriots and how none of them get along with each other, and Belichick hates Brady, and Brady hates Belichick, and Brady loves Bob Kraft, and Bob Kraft loves Brady, and Belichick hates Kraft. This year, his new target is the Cleveland Browns. Published a big column earlier today on ESPN.com, and it's the first story I saw today when I woke up, and I read the whole thing, and it was
incendiary.
It was an interesting tell-all about the Cleveland Browns.
Are you surprised by any of it?
No, not at all. Mainly it's about the dysfunction of the organization due to owner Jimmy Haslam, along with his wife, who has the big money quote in the column, which is, if we knew running the team was going to be this hard, we wouldn't have bought it.
Oh, yeah.
Because running a football team would be easy,
How much money have we made?
You know.
What's the franchise worth now?
Big business with the Pilot J.
I was going to say, isn't this better than the Flying J lawsuits?
Flying J, sorry,
isn't this better?
We own big business before. We can just own a football team now.
Look, we could be a clown show here, and we can still print money as long as we don't disparage anybody or do anything, illegal like allegedly the other place.
So what we found out in this article is a couple of things, and then we get to the real crazy one. Jimmy Haslam confides in a lot of people and doesn't stick with a plan and fires people who he tells, hey, yeah, you're great, you're my GM, you're my coach, you're my guy.
You're fired.
And then a couple months later, you get fired.
Well, it happens.
Hugh Jackson, very snake-like, complaining that he doesn't have a quarterback the offseason after he said he wouldn't publicly support drafting Mitchell Trubisky or any of the other quarterbacks.
That's Pro Bowler Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, you got
to
make sure you say that. Weird attitude. Cursing out Jimmy Haslam after he was fired. So the craziness involving Hugh Jackson, how everybody fights political battles. Even now, GM John Dorsey, according to the column, when he gets his way, gives a quote saying, I flex my muscles and I won this battle with Jimmy Haslam. It's about a whole bunch of ineptitude going on with the Browns. And now you throw Baker Mayfield into the mix. And now who knows? Which is why you don't get big time coaches who want to interview for this job. Now I can get Baker's LOL again.
Can we get that again? Can we revisit that ahead of Super Bowl week?
But this may be the best part of the story. Because as much as we like to talk about owner ineptitude, and look, and I say the same thing all the time, If your quarterback sucks, if your head coach sucks, if your GM sucks, eventually they'll be replaced. A new one will come in. But you have a bad owner, you're stuck. You're stuck. You're stuck with Jimmy Haslam, whose wife's office, we knew it was this hard, but it never bought the team. At one point, they wanted to put highlights on the wall of Brown's offices for people to walk by and see just over the course of the day. So they went to Twitter and did hashtag dog pound or hashtag DP, whatever they did for dog pound, and they just let the Twitter feed hit the wall.
Bad job. Bad hashtag.
The thing is, that hashtag is also something that's used by people who are connoisseurs and fans of pornography. So,
you don't say.
Over the course of, you know, oh, look at that. That's a big sack right there by Miles. God, what a great sack that is.
That's what she said. How interesting the terminology you're using to describe the plays.
Fired in there.
Other video of pornographic acts was broadcast on the walls during the course of this thing they wanted to
and
do.
And now they're banging each other.
Well, it's motivational instructional on it.
It's Motivational Monday. What do we got? We got porn on the walls. All right. My favorite part of this story is that, you know, just a line by Seth Wickersham, that this played for 20 minutes before people figured out what was going on. So for 20 minutes.
Yeah, they haven't seen highlights like those in years in Cleveland.
This happened at the game on Sunday? I didn't see that.
That's the best finish to a game that we've seen in years.
Where was that? I didn't see that. I just watched.
When is Baker going to perform like that?
I'm going to eat that ass up. So,
that is one finishing move.
Just remember, this played for 20 minutes before
people realized,
oh, wait, we got to take this off the wall. So this tells me that there's a lot of people that are like, hey, you're not saying anything, man. Watch what's on the wall.
Did they find a video that had a guy walking around and performing in a Browns jersey?
I don't know.
Or a helmet?
I don't know.
Browns cheerleader?
I
locker room scene?
Don't know if you had
these
that.
These nuts!
I don't know. 20 minutes this went on before finally somebody said, hey, this is a little inappropriate.
Where was Sonny Weaver Jr.?
Oh, you think Sonny Weaver, there was some kind of
trying to do my job.
Draft day pornography on the wall?
Oh, how about that?
You think there was?
See, now that's a challenge. Make a 20-minute video that it splices in a couple of Sonny Weaver quotes.
I'm going to trade you my first for 3 seconds to the Jaguars.
World's a little different than it was 30 seconds ago.
Why did nobody come to my birthday party?
Starring Bo Callahan.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Joining us now on the hotline, Boston Globe columnist John Powers, author of the new book, Fridays with Bill. It's available on Amazon and at Barnes & Noble. John, first thing, I think you need an addendum at the end of the book for this science project, kid. It's kind of making a lot of news right now.
That's right. What's interesting is it's always been us against them with the Patriots. It's really us against them this year. When you hear Tom Brady saying, everybody thinks we suck and we can't win any games, this is what has been fueling these guys.
You know, you write in your book, like, we have a lot of fun with Bill Belichick's press conferences, the times when he just doesn't want to talk or just say things, and sometimes he finds a way to be impressive and fun when he doesn't mean to. But you see a different guy on Fridays than everybody else sees every other day.
Absolutely. You know, basically, midweek is the worst time to get him is the day after a loss. We're on to Cincinnati. We've covered that. We've been through that. Wednesday, when the whole crowd is there, he is fairly terse. Friday, all the crowds have thinned out, and the people are left are the people Belichick calls the Friday warriors, the few, the proud, not the free. It's a half dozen people that cover the team on a daily basis. So he relaxes. You know, basically, the game plan's in, and he wants to hold forth. And he's with people that know enough about the game that it's kind of fun for him.
Yeah, one of the things, John, always kind of watching is, you know, he does the telestrator work, right, his TV show, and those kind of back and forths. But every once in a while, you'll have these quick back and forths in a conversation, right, the big press setting. And then there'll be that one question that breaks through and he goes off on an alignment for 5,000 words or something like that. Those
exactly.
are my favorite. I mean, it just... Have you figured that out, that game to play with him to figure out what's going to hit him in that moment?
Well, it does. And you know, mostly what he likes is he hates talking about the next game in terms of injuries. He won't even tell you whether Tom Brady has two legs. You get him on Next Man Up, or you talk about the old days with Paul Brown, or why you like left-footed punters, and he'll give you what he will. What he'll say is, it's a long answer to a short question. But he is a scout's son. He loves to talk about this stuff. And I think what was fun about it, anytime I really needed to get a story at some length, I'd go on Friday because he would hold forth. You'd get that 5,000-word answer. And the thing was, it was too long to use the next day's paper. But it's perfect for a book.
So if I had to say, all right, give me the Fridays you spend with him, give me the one story that encapsulates everything about Belichick and what it's like on this day. What story would you tell me?
What is really fun is when he talks about how hopeless he is with technology. He actually quoted the Stooges. He said, you know, I look at it and all I see is tubes and wires. It's like Curly with the Stooges. You know, what's wrong with the car? Because the clock's working. So what he'll do is he will tell you, he'll let you know that he is tied in to the public culture, if you will. He quoted Mona Lisa Vitti from My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
People said, what? He knows that? He knew that?
See, but
you get it on a holiday. He loves talking about Halloween.
Really?
He is incredible. He told us what his favorite costume of all time was. He was John F. Kennedy during the Cuban Missile Crisis, and he had the mask, and he had a suit. And, you know, he loves Pez candy, especially if they give it a dispenser. He'll say, remember when you go to a house and you've been there before and they threw you out? Oh, yeah. So that's when you see the guy that all of his friends say he is. But, you know, no one else sees him that way unless you go on Friday.
Well, wait, do you have interviews with people that threw Belichick out of their house when he came there trick-or-treating? That's
now that if you dig deep for that, that's great.
Wouldn't that be good? Oh, yeah. But he is funny in a very wry way. You will kind of poke and he'll kind of give you the sidelong smile, you know. But what's funny about him is that most of us don't know him very well. He kind of comes out of the door. He stands at the podium. He literally talks down to us. Then he goes back to the door. And I remember being in the locker room once and a guy's coming at me who looks very familiar. And I said, that looks just like Belichick, only he's shorter.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios on the hotline with us, Boston Globe writer. The book, Fridays with Bill, Barnes & Noble and Amazon. It's John Powers. John, so to that end, do you think he enjoys the reputation that's been built up and that, you know, he's got a little bit of a thespian in him in that regard?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think when you see him, when he's off duty, people will say he'll show up for some random charity thing, and he is completely charming. So I think he likes that to be out there, the fact that he is kind of a different guy than the guy that you see. But it was interesting. I mean, this was kind of a very stressful season for him. I mean, you talk about a long, strange trip. This team always has been good in December. And you come and they have that horrific loss on the final play at Miami. They get beaten at Pittsburgh, which is a team they always beat. There was a lot of, you know, not panic around here, but you begin hearing a lot of stuff. Maybe it's passed him by. Maybe he's finally, you know, trying to do too much with too little, blah, blah, blah. And then you have the last two games. And suddenly it's, well, you know, why do we ever doubt this guy? There's a whole in Bill we trust thing up here.
All right, so something we hit on, because we hit the anniversary the other day of Belichick leaving the Jets, and he did the podcast where he said Adam Gase is already outlasting me, which was really funny. You know, apparently Bill Belichick still has Jets jokes.
Wait a minute. So full disclosure, though, John, my partner here, Jason, is perhaps the biggest Jets fan and one of like eight.
Yeah.
In the world.
Whoa, there's more of us than that.
That he hangs on to everything that's said or done by a Jets player or coach or executive in history.
So tell me, what did the Jets do to him? Why the disdain of even, I get the whole rivalry that once you become head coach of the Patriots, but just the hatred he has that he apparently had when he agreed to become their head coach, I don't get it.
Oh yeah. And you know what? There are certain things that I think he will take to his grave. We're never going to know why Malcolm Butler didn't play. We're never going to know what he really thinks about New York. He will take those secrets forever. Well, I mean, now we're saying, you know, look at last week. You know, you look at, you got a running back, Michelle, with over 100 yards, doesn't touch the ball the last 8 minutes. Why? Well, I don't know. You know? I mean,
you could
run to Atlanta.
Exactly.
Run to the Rams.
Right. Well, I got to go get him some Pez dispensers now, though. That's great.
Oh, yeah, trust me. He'll be delighted with that. He'll be, and it's also fun. Around Christmas time, he'll come in. He'll say, "Well, have you got all your shopping done?" Well, I got mine done this morning. And one of the writers will say, "Well, did you get something for me?" He said, "It's in the mail."
There you go.
You can follow him on Twitter at jpowisglobe, J-P-O-W-I-Z Globe. John Powers, the new book, Fridays with Bill. It sounds outstanding. You can get it right now on Amazon at Barnes & Noble. The book is Fridays with Bill. John, appreciate it, my friend. Thank you so much.
And thanks, guys.
Thanks for all the material. Care. You're awesome.
Awesome stuff. Thank you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.